Well, welcome again to Marin Covenant Church. This last Sunday, we had a baptism night at our church, and they're always really special. They're always very unique. The thing I love about them the most is that every time we have a baptism, whether in the church or a baptism service, you get this little sneak peek to the weird and wild ways in which God gets a hold of our lives. Because we all kind of see the life through our own lens. We go, this is how God works. But when you hear baptism stories and testimonies, you realize, it is wild. And all week, I've just been reflecting on the range of ways that God has gotten a hold of people's lives. There was a man, Dawson, right, who grew up in our church and has graduated college. And he's ready to like put God first in his life. And he's like, okay, this is it. This is my marker as I head into adulthood. You know, there's some people on these wild spiritual quests. Like, I'm not that spiritual. Like, I'm not sensitive to the spirit like some people are. I listen to people who are so sensitive to the spirits and spiritual realm. And to hear people's stories of going, oh my goodness, in that spiritual realm, in a very supernatural way, God just goes, whoom, and gets a hold of people's hearts. There's so many people in our recovery community who God is finding, grabbing their hearts. They're like searching and leaning on their higher power. Jesus is just showing up and be like, actually, I'm your higher power, and they're giving their life to him. And the amount of people coming to faith in the recovery community all over the place, but here in Marin, is just incredible. But there was one story that brought me extra joy, and his name's Jim Campbell, and he is in the recovery community, which I probably shouldn't say out loud, but I know that's not okay. I'm going to say that because he knows. But I've known him for 20 years. Can you believe that? For 20 years. And doing his baptism and being a part of his life and story brought me so much joy, because being at a church for a really long time, there's lots of great things and lots of challenging things. But Jim is one of those people, for whatever reason, God connected me with him like almost 20 years ago. When I was the youth pastor here, his kids were in high school and he was going through a really challenging time in his personal life. And I got to walk with his kids and walk through him. And I mean, I have these distinct memories like sitting at BJ's back when BJ's was a thing over there and like working out really hard, challenging things. And he's always deeply loved God, and he's always been this wild roller coaster of our human being. And he would even say he's stubborn, which is like the kindest way of saying it. He's just stubborn. And what I love about him, though, is he's a great testimony, because in our life, we think our life should just go up and to the right forever. Our life is about, I find Jesus and we go up and to the right. But if you live life for more than a minute, you realize life is not up and to the right forever. And what I love about Jim is Jim's life was not up and to the right. Still probably is not going to be up and to the right. And yet he, over these 20 years, and what this last season, God has done this incredible thing where God got a hold of his heart in a brand new way. In all of his rebellion and all of his angst and all of his like wildness that he's trying to work out, God finally said, hey, Jim, just relax, man. Just relax. Why don't you just come and enjoy the green pastures of my valley? Why don't you just come enjoy the goodness and grace of the people of God? Why don't you be reminded daily and weekly that God is good, and by being connected to people who will remind you that God is good? And so as your life is going through all these wild turns, that you can be reminded and rooted in God's goodness and grace. And a few months ago, he just kind of said, okay, God, I'm just going to surrender. I'm done being a stubborn guy. I give you my life again, and I'm going to be connected and committed to the body of Christ, and to be reminded of God's goodness and grace. And that, so his baptism was this marker, because he's also like, who needs to be baptized? I'm a Christian. Like, you know, we all have this like stubbornness. And this was his, like, as an old man being like, okay, God, I'm in. And what's so fun is we have this dad's Bible study, and he comes and he just brings his kindness, and he's just an incredible human. And I love that story, because the baptism stories and Jim's stories, I'm always often reminded of many of the stories of my friends in this room, and even my own story. And while the actual data points along the way, the peaks and the valleys and the traumas and the non-traumas, the things that could make, you know, a crime documentary on Netflix, or things that probably wouldn't even make a blip on the local news, whatever our weird and wild stories are, I think most of us resonate with somewhere along the way, we recognize that we've been chased after our whole life by this good shepherd who's just tracked us down and grabbed a hold of our hearts. And some of us instantly are like, okay, God, I'm your person, and I'm back to the pen, and I'm gonna live in this beautiful pasture, and I'm gonna be your person forever. And some people, God just has to like kicking and screaming, running away, the 20-year journey. But it doesn't matter. What I love about the stories of the people of God is it doesn't matter what we do and all of our kindness or all of our rebellion. The true story, the through line that I see over and over and over and over again, is that there's this good shepherd who is just relentless in his pursuit of us, his relentless in his care for us. And this morning, I just wanted to read really quickly this passage. One of my most favorite passages in scriptures about the Good Shepherd. It comes right out of John 10. I think one of the most powerful teachings of Jesus in the whole New Testament. Jesus says this in John chapter 10. He says, "I am the gate, and whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. For the thief has come only to steal and kill and destroy, and I have come that they may have life and have it to the full," or have it abundantly. And I love this picture because this is the picture that Jesus is the gate. Jesus is the way. Jesus is like, he's the visible image, the personification of God, this invisible God that we can make into anybody. Jesus says, no, I am God in the flesh. I am the way to the Father. And if you come and follow me, you're going to find green pastures. And I just love that. If you ever like laid out in a field and it's just like the beauty of a spring day, you're just like, oh, this is just so beautiful. That's where God is inviting us to live. He says that the thief has come to steal and kill and destroy, but Jesus has come that we would have life and have it abundantly. And what's so funny, this is like one of the early memory verses. If you've been around the church, you know this verse inside and out. And I think what's interesting is we can recognize that our flesh, the world, the enemy, our lives and the people we love, our lives have been jumbled up and chewed up and spit out by the world. The amount of anxiety and depression and challenge our young people are facing, the ways that all of our lives did not go up into the right forever. Like, we recognize it is a really hard place to be out there. And we all have these mantles, we all have these like this armor where we're like just girded up, like we're gonna be, somehow we're gonna survive. And what I love about the story of Jesus, what I love about the pictures of Jesus is he is the good shepherd. And he not only says, come in through the gate, but I imagine him saying, like, take off your armor. Take off those weights. Hand me your disappointments. Hand me your pain. And come and be in my pasture where you're gonna find life. And even though it's this memory verse that we know, like right at the top of our heads, I think there's something powerful. If we can really come to terms with the ways that Jesus has actually saved us, the ways that Jesus has actually healed us and transformed us, that we could actually have empathy in our hearts for our friends and for our kids and for our neighbors and for the world that is living outside of God's pen and is only experiencing death and destruction. Instead of just being like, too bad for them, to actually put on the mantle of Christ and go, oh, God, my heart would break for them. And that other people, more people, will be able to experience this pasture. Jesus goes on to say this in verse 14. He says, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, I will lay down my life for the sheep." And I love this. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd and I know my sheep and they know me." Earlier in this verse, he says that I'll speak and my sheep will know my voice. They'll follow me. And there's this really wild thing because, again, God's invisible. Very few of us actually have God speak to us in an audible way. And if that's your thing, you need to be so grateful. That is such a very small percentage. And so to hear God is a hard thing. But the truth is, in a very weird, unique, individualized way, God is calling to us with his voice. And if we have ears to hear, we turn to him and we follow him. He says, "I am the good shepherd and my sheep know me and I know them." And there's something beautiful about the very foundation of Christianity is not religion. It's not doing good things, which those are important. Religion is good. Doing good things is important. But the very, very foundation is that we would know Jesus the way that he knows us. And he knows us, not just like knows about us, he knows us like in the most intimate biblical way because it says he laid down his life for us because he loves us. And so the way that Jesus knows us is to love us. And so therefore the way to know God will also be to love God. And then he says this, "And I have other sheep who are not of the sheep pen and I must bring them also and they too will listen to my voice and there shall be one flock and one shepherd." And I just love this picture of who Jesus is. And I just, again, I think when I think back to our baptism service, when I think of our church and the people in our church, I just think we are a church of people who've experienced that. We are a church of people that is not just a Bible verse, but that is in a lived experience. We're people who have heard the voice of God, who have entered into his family through Jesus and have been adopted as daughters and sons and get to live in this beautiful, beautiful pasture. That is the testimony of this church. Like I said, doing church and ministry a long time, one of the challenging things is, like I said, we're not up and to the right forever. And what I love is being around my fellow saints to watch God's goodness and faithfulness, even when things bottom out, even when it's not up and to the right forever. I see the God's people gathered. I see the Spirit of God faithful. I see the testimony of people getting to the other side and celebrating God's goodness and grace. Jesus invites us to know and to love him. And then he says, and there's sheep who aren't even part of this pasture yet, and I need to go get them. And so my invitation for us this morning, and we're going to take a look a little bit about what we're going to be about this year and who we are as a church, but really the frame is that. The frame is that Jesus is the good shepherd. He's invited us to know him in the most intimate ways. And they said, and you know what? And there's people out there who are still just being beat up by the world, and they need to be in my into my pen, into my field, and I need to go get them. And the switch for us, the transition for us is to go, God, thank you so much for doing that to me. And if God hasn't done that to you, then here's the thing. Get to be around. Hang around the people of God. There's this guy on TikTok. I'm sorry, I'm still trying to get off TikTok, but I turned off at 7 at night. But there's this TikToker, and he's this influencer, and he said, for 1 month, I'm going to pretend God is real. I'm going to live like God is real for one whole month. And by day 27, he's like, oh my gosh, I'm a Christian. Like there's this wild thing. We can all sit like this all day long, but there's something wild that when we step into the stream of God and we step into the people of God, God actually grabs a hold of us and we can hear us. So the invitation is for us to encounter that, experience that ourselves, but then to put on the mantle of Christ that we as a church would actually be a good shepherd. We would be the good shepherds for a town and for a county and for a world that desperately needs him. And so we're going to take a real quick look at our vision statement and our mission statement. Just, you're going to see it on the walls. It's kind of who we are as a church. And as you're trying to explore if this church is for you, to be like, oh, this is who we are. And you're like, yep, that's for me. Or there's a lot of other churches with different vision statements and mission statements. If you can find them, that's great. But this is our vision statement, that we are a church that is rooted in Jesus, reaching Marin, and raising up the next generation. And it just comes right out, this passage in John 10, that we are a church that is rooted in Jesus. We are a church that is committed to hearing the voice of Jesus. We're a church that is committed to making sure we're gonna do everything we can to put ourselves in line with the Spirit so we can hear what God has for us individually and corporately. We're rooted, right? John 15, 5, we're rooted because we're connected to the vine, we bear much fruit. We don't try to bear fruit. We don't try to be good Christians. We're rooted in Jesus, and Jesus' Holy Spirit does a work in us, changes us, transforms us, and uses us. Everything we're about, we are Jesus people. And sometimes you're like, man, I'm on the God journey, which is awesome. You should be on the God journey. You're on the higher power journey, and you should be on the higher power journey. But there's something wild when you get to the specificity of the person of Jesus and see who he is and what he's done and invited to walk and follow him as our rabbi and our master and our Lord and Savior. And so we as a church, we're rooted in Jesus. And like Jesus says, they're sheep who are not part of this pasture. And for us, we found the more that we've been rooted in Jesus, the more we are compelled and changed and transformed. God changes our hearts to the point where we love and care for and have compassion and mercy to the people around us, to the world around us, to our neighbors around us. And so just like Jesus is on a mission to find the sheep who are not part of this pen, man, we as a church are on a mission to find people who are not part of this pen so that we can help them to come and encounter Jesus. So we want to not just be rooted in Jesus, we want to be people who are committed to reaching Marin. And listen, you live in Marin, I live in Marin. Marin is full of the weirdest and wildest and the most amazing people. The range of human being that is in Marin is so wild. And if we're going to reach them, then we have to be a church that is open-hearted and generous, that is making space for anybody along their spiritual journey to say, we will walk with you and be with you as you're trying to sort out what in the world God's doing with you. So we're gonna join in Jesus' mission of reaching Marin. Now, this doesn't come right out of John 10, but I'm gonna use a little bit of latitude here, but this idea of raising up the next generation, when you think of shepherds, shepherds have sheep, they care for their sheep, they grab the lost sheep, they bring them in, but really the magic in raising sheep, so I hear, because I've never done this before, but is that you actually care for sheep. You breed sheep, you raise up sheep, you build your flock by not always going out and buying more sheep, but by caring for the next generation. And we as a church for 60 years ago, our church, that's what they were founded on. We are gonna be a church that's gonna help Marin County know Jesus, find people who don't know Jesus, and for sure, we're gonna reach the kids. And for 60 years, we have like bent over backwards. We spent all the money to do all the things so that the kids of our church and the kids of our area will have no impediments to know who Jesus, to know the love and the grace of God. And we are gonna make all of the space for all the broken things that come with making space for teenagers. And I love that Nathan's here. Wow, 1998. Although I don't think I would have put it the way that Michael put it. But you know, 1998, we're all high school kids. We're all trying to figure it out. But it is wild. In fact, we were talking in our prayer room. Nathan, Blake, myself, Hannah, San Marin is like kicking out ministry people left and right. So even though I make fun of San Marin, like that place is a centerpiece of God's movement, right? But that's what we're doing as a church. Like we are gonna raise up the next generation. And it is costly. It costs a lot, both financially. It costs a lot with our posture because the way that kids talk, the way they dress, the way they break things, what happens, like we get to make space for that. And we get to love their parents as they're losing their minds trying to figure that out, right? So that's our posture as a church. We're gonna be connected and rooted to Jesus. We're gonna we're gonna reach Marin and we're gonna raise up the next generation. And we're gonna be sold out to doing those three things. The last thing I just wanna talk about briefly is our mission statement. So our vision is when we paint the picture, this is who we want to be as a church. And there's a bazillion ways we could pull that off. But our mission statement is kind of the unique way that God's put on us to go about pulling that off. And the way that we're gonna do this is our mission statement, which is that we're gonna engage with spiritually hungry people towards a life in Christ that's inspired, intelligent, and involved. And what that means is, like I said, there's so many different ways that we could reach Marin. And we have found at our church, the way that God's working in our midst is instead of having an incredible marketing campaign or other different things that we just have tried but we can't do, we have found that God in a unique way is drawing warm-hearted people towards Jesus to our church. We're the fragrance of Christ, and because we're the fragrance of Christ, God is drawing people who are warm towards Christ. And so we as a church are gonna say, well then, we should pay attention to this thing that God's doing. And so what we're gonna do is we are gonna engage with spiritually hungry people. So if you are anywhere on your spiritual journey, then we as a church are like, man, this is your spot. This is your spot to sort out who you are, if this is the right spot for you, where God has for you. And we have all the generosity, all the patience in the world to be about engaging with spiritually hungry people. Now, like I said, though, there is some specificity. Well, there's a bazillion ways to have spiritual journeys, especially in Marin. You know, there's bazillions of ways. But if your spiritual journey is uniquely warm-hearted towards the person of Jesus, oh my gosh, we're gonna roll out the red carpet. We're gonna do everything we can. We're gonna walk at whatever pace you need us to walk to be on this journey towards Christ. And you look around this room and all the different ways that God's grabbed a hold of our hearts, it is wild that God in his gentleness and kindness and his patience walks exactly with us at our pace. And because God's done that to us, then we as a church are gonna walk along with spiritually hungry people towards this life of Christ. And then we have this last part, this idea that our faith is inspired and intelligent and involved. Because it's not just a spiritual quest, there is this robust, whole, fully orbed faith that Christians long before us have said, these are important things. And we said, well, then they want to be important to us. And that means that we have a faith that's inspired. That means it's fully activated in our heart. It's not just theology. It's not just religion. It's this understanding that our heart, our very center of our being is connected to God. Jesus says, I know my sheep and they know me. And we're like, oh, I want to know you. I want to know you in the depth of my being. And so we want to make sure that we are offering and providing spaces for a faith that is inspired. And we also want to recognize that we have a faith that is intelligent, right? It's not just blind faith. It's not just we're throwing snakes at each other. Our faith is complicated. The world is complicated. The Bible is complicated. Christianity is complicated. And so instead of just being like, well, they're all idiots. This is how to do it. We have to just recognize that it is a complicated moment we're in. And so we need to use our brains. We need to think deeply about theology and about missiology and about how to share the good news and how to do discipleship in a context that is so wild. So we're gonna be intelligent. And then lastly, we're gonna be involved. God has molded us and shaped us. James makes it incredibly clear, right? We can't just have faith and not works. We have to have faith and works. Our faith has to compel us to go into action, to care for the world around us, right? Full of love and mercy and justice. Those are the ways that we need to engage our neighbors and our friends and our family and the world. And we're gonna continue to grow our muscles so that we are being an involved church, so that we're a benefit and a gift to our church. So that's who we are as a church. And the way that we do that is through our ministry priorities, which is worship and discipleship and families. And in fact, I'm going to invite up our ministry leads team to come up here. And the band's going to come out because we're going to get ready to wrap up in a second. But this is our ministry leads team. And these are the pastors and directors who basically make all of the ministries and the life of our church really function. And so instead of hearing from me, I thought I'd brag on each of them and then allow a little space for them to share with us. Oh, Ben, I was worried you weren't going to show up. Okay, so this is our ministry leads team, and they're going to introduce themselves in their ministry area. But our team of people, we meet every Tuesday to think about and pray about all the things that God's doing in the life of our church. And then we all just kind of run like crazy the rest of the week to do what God has put on our hearts to get after, to accomplish our vision through our mission. And so I'm gonna start with Stacy. Mancini is the director of our children's ministry. And we're gonna go with the question, what are you most excited about for this upcoming fall? But if that's not what you prepared, you're welcome to share whatever you want, okay?
Okay, well, I am most excited about just starting new fall rhythms. And families coming back to church after being gone for a couple weeks, or even some of them for the whole summer, and just seeing how much kids have grown. Some of them look like they've grown a whole foot over the summer. And it's just fun to have everybody back and together, and to know that these kids are going to be learning about Jesus and experiencing the sweet community that we have downstairs in children's ministry. And I'm also excited that we have two services, first and second gathering, that completely mirror each other. So that allows for birth through fifth graders to attend at either service, and that's really exciting news.
Yeah.
Popcorn Michael.
We're doing the popcorn thing. So I have 90 seconds is all we have. I have too many 89 seconds. I have too many things that that I'm excited about. You're wasting time right now. The thing I'm most excited, I'm Michael, I'm a pastor of ministry teams, which is our connectional and serving ministries. The thing I'm most excited about, I like you guys and whatnot, but I'm most excited about working with Pilar Markle, our women's ministry coordinator, and also Neely Wang, our Sunday morning hospitality director, and then, of course, Daryl Bardo, and the people that make the different connectional and serving things happen. There's just a number of folks, and we enjoy working together, and I'm excited to continue that moving forward. But one thing I'm really excited about is the new Last Saturday Men's Breakfasts. So every month, we're going to get some guys out in the lobby, and I don't care if there's 30 of us or 4 of us and we have toast, we're still going to be out there. And it's going to be great. So Last Saturday Men's Breakfast, so you know when it is, so no excuses, right? So that's something I'm really stoked about, and 0 seconds left. I'm going to popcorn Shelly.
Awesome. I'm Shelly. I am the pastor of students. So I'm with 6th through 12th grades. Thanks, guys. It's the best. I get to work with Abe, who's our middle school director, and then Hannah and Ronnie, who are our interns. And probably the thing that I am most excited about is we have an incredible group of volunteers this year. It is a full stacked team, and I'm really excited because they love Jesus a lot. They overflow with Jesus, and they're passionate about teenagers. And I'm talking, we got a middle school team passionate about middle schoolers. That deserves a cheer. That, yes, that deserves, come on, people. Some of you did not sign up for that for a reason. Okay, and then we have also leaders passionate about high schoolers and discipling them towards maturity. And so I'm just really excited about that. And this Wednesday, we have our fall kickoff. So we took a 2-week break, and it is epic. It is such a fun night. So I'm so excited. We bring more jumpies in for that. It's going to be, you can pray for us for safety, because it is so much fun, all the fun activities we're going to do. And I have a parent meeting. So come and join me that night, 7:15 to 8:45, for a parent meeting. I'm excited to tell you about our vision and all that we're doing. It's going to be the best. I think I went 95 seconds. Popcorn Jeff.
I just want to join student ministry now. I'm in. That's all I'm doing. I'm coming. I'm Jeff. I'm the pastor of discipleship, and what I am most excited about is that out of the discipleship cohort, which is our main kind of effort around discipleship. And what discipleship is it's all these spiritually hungry people that are finding Christ, and those of you that have been walking with God, it's about helping move those folks from being, you know, coming to know Christ to becoming a lifelong, fully devoted follower of Jesus who knows how to walk with him. So that's the goal. Last year, we graduated 61 people, including leaders, out of that. And I'm super excited to watch where they're landing this year. After a year of intensive discipleship and fellowship, the small groups they're in, I think there's like, there might be like six grads on the leadership team right now, small group leaders, student ministry, children's ministry, like people who, and particularly those who came out of it last year, where they're finding that God has warmed their heart to raise the spiritual temperature and what rooms he's called them to be in. So I'm loving watching all those 61 people. And then, of course, I'm super excited that a week from today, we begin a new year with, including leaders, with 54 other people that are going to be intensively discipled to learn to walk with Jesus. And that starts next Sunday. And they don't know what groups they're in. Like, it's just, like, God's just, I did a random number generator to, like, put them in groups. Like, good luck. Like, here we go. So what's God going to do with that group of people in this upcoming year, Katie? I'm talking about you. Okay. So that's what I'm most excited about. And by the way, people are like, I finally heard about that. How do I join? We do applications in the spring and we begin in the fall. So be thinking about it, praying about it, and you can look into that in the spring.
Yeah.
And Popcorn Benzi.
Yes, my turn. My name is Ben Zulsdorf. I'm the worship director. And I've been serving in this role for just over a year now. Michael passed along the worship ministry to me last year. And I lead with Susan Coronado back there, Susan. Yeah. And Davis Dirks in the back tech booth, y'all. Yeah, they are the best. And we every Sunday we have like 9 to 10 musicians and then 5 tech volunteers that pull this thing off. And so you won't see the tech people as much. Give a round of applause for the tech people. They're behind these doors and back there. We have a remarkable team, and I think one of the things about youth worship ministry that's really exciting, every Thursday night when we gather to rehearse, we do like a small group time. We pray together. We get the word together. We really know each other, and we seek to be in each other's lives, and I think we have a lot of fun. We have fun, guys? Fun? Yes? Please tell me we have fun. Okay. Man, I think we have a lot of fun. I'm having fun, And if you're interested, in being a part of worship or tech, we have some forms for you to get started online under our priorities page. We can get you started in there. We need more volunteers for tech for sure. And if you play instruments, especially, we always need more people. We have a lot of singers. And so right now I don't need as many singers because we're having a hard time getting those all in the rep, but we have a lot of space for musicians and stuff. So if you're interested at all, come check out that page. And I'm excited this year we're doing some worship nights, y'all. We're going to do a worship night once every quarter in this room. So we'll do one in the fall. We'll do one in the winter and then one in the spring as well. We had the outdoor baptism one, which counts as a worship night in many regards for sure. That's good. Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Awesome. Thanks, Ben. I'll let you get back to the band. Let's give it up for our ministry leads. Davis, I'm calling audible. I'm going to go back. Sorry. Anyway, we have like such an incredible team. This is just part of our staff team. A bunch of other staff people got shouted out. There's like 100 volunteers that makes this thing happen. And I just want you to know, as we get ready to start our fall, as we get to ready to jump into this new season, I just want to one more time invite you to strongly consider making this church your home, to find a place to land, to be invested so that you can encounter Christ, that you'd allow space for God to mold you and shape you and transform you. And then ultimately that God would use you for his ever-expanding kingdom. And any one of those people up on the stage, myself included, we would love nothing more than to walk with you in this next season, whatever God has for you, wherever you are in your spiritual journey. And so as we get ready to worship, would you stand with me? Let me pray for us and over us as we expectantly look into all that God has for us this upcoming year. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, our gracious God, you are the good shepherd. And you've laid down your life so that we might have the full and abundant life by living in your pasture. You've run after us, you've grabbed a hold of us, you've saved us, you know us, and now may we simply repent, turn around, turn our faces toward you, begin to move toward you so we can encounter all of your goodness and all of your grace, that we can be forgiven and healed and transformed and experience the true and abundant life that's offered in your pasture. And then may we take on the mantle. May we be people that would have your heart and your eyes for the lost, for the broken, for the downtrodden, for the unseen, the people that you see and love the most. May we have eyes to see and care for them and invite them to come and be with us in this new family, in this new home. And may it be for your glory. And all of God's kids said, amen and amen.